What do I do?
What do I do?
What do I say?
What do I say? In the Macmillan online community, we know what it's like to have cancer, because we have it too. So, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're feeling, whatever you need to ask about cancer, whatever the time of day or night, we'll do whatever it takes to help you. To join us, search Macmillan online community.
From Wondery and Audible comes Class of 88, a new podcast hosted by Will Smith. Before 1988, a lot of people didn't take hip-hop seriously. But hip-hop today touches everything from film to fashion to sports. So what changed? Follow Class of 88 wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today, as usual, the wonderful, the amazing, probably the best flamenco dancer that I know, Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, I guess I just stomped my feet around so much when we're together that you thought I was a flamenco dancer.
That's not a flamenco thing. That's not a flamenco beat.
I just have very low patience. That's all. If I don't get my way, I just start stomping my feet around. And in this relationship, we call that flamenco. Okay? That's what keeps us happy.
You know, we often talk about, every now and then a word will come up and we'll be like, that sounds like it should be like a place in Orange County. Like, what was the one that we're like, this sounds like it should be a boutique in Orange County that we came up with like 2 months ago?
That was some funny shit.
But I feel like flamencos should be like a neighborhood bar and grill in Tustin or something. Are you going to go to flamencos today? Yeah, they've got it's Tuesday. They have a steak special.
You know, I just wanted to go somewhere we can talk. It's kind of noisy there.
Oh, but they have great margaritas at flamencos.
Well, I was going to ride my pet bull over there, but he just gets so upset every time we go to flamencos. He tries to kill the employees there.
Oh, you know what? I'll meet you at flamencos, but first I got to pick something up at Zensations.
Zensations. That's what it is.
I love how I made the people in Orange County have a Southern accent.
It's because we're doing a Sutton episode, so, you know, you got to start with that. And then
got to start. So today we are talking Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Before we get into that, the Golden Crappies, just around the corner. I cannot believe it's a week away. We have so much work to do. Like, you don't even know how much work Ronnie and I are doing right now. It's like a lot of work right now. But I don't think I'm going to do it.
I was thinking about it today. I was doing it and I was like, this is so hard. I got up at 6:30 and I was like, this is too much. I can't do it. And I'm stressing. And then I was like, I'm just not going to do it. I mean, what are they going to do to us? We're the boss. So fuck it. I'm not doing shit. Well, how about that?
The problem is that we are ambitious people and, you know, we always want to make these things awesome and cool. And maybe this year we'll add this or that. And so it's just like getting harder and harder. And we have people helping us this year, but we keep on adding more to our plate. So we're dum-dums for that. But we are going to persevere.
It is fun work, though.
It's fun work.
I was just doing cutouts of all the housewives. That's what I was doing this morning. I was like cutting out all the housewives to put them in like a thing. And, you know, I mean, who can really complain, you know?
I know. I started building the slideshow for the nominees that will appear on the big screen. And like, it's on PowerPoint, which is like a foreign thing for me. And that's like its own... That's just PowerPoint.
It's its own drama.
Why would you open up a PowerPoint portal
for yourself for the year?
I don't want to be in a PowerPoint portal. If there's a better portal for me to be on, I will be on it. But right now, PowerPoint seems to be where my portal is. But you know what? You know what? We're working hard because we support other women. But guess what? You guys can work hard too because you can vote. You can vote in this. It's actually not hard to do at all. It's actually really fun. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com and you can vote on who you want to win all these categories. It's super, super fun. Takes a minute. Send it to all your friends. Have a blast with it. And then when you're done voting, be sure to buy a ticket to the Golden Crappies. February 17th is when we're going to read the winners for all the people that you voted for. It's going to be downtown LA at the Palace Theater. Come join us. If you can't be there in person, get a streaming ticket. Moment is going to be streaming it for us. All the links, all the information you could possibly ever want in life, truly in life, is at watchyourcrapins.com. And that includes Patreon, including Crapins on Demand, which we're on, of course. We're on video. Look at us. Look at us. Look at us. Take a look. Take us all in. And that's all the news. That is the big news, huh?
Okay. Well, let's move on to some Beverly Hills action, shall we, Ben?
Oh my God, I would love nothing more in the world than to do that.
Okay.
Actually, the only thing I would love more in the world would be someone to...
take off my shoes.
Too much flamenco.
Yeah, I actually was doing something before this today. I'm not just sitting around in my pajamas like usual. And it's weird. I'm sitting here in pants and I had shoes on. I mean, I don't even know how to work like this. I feel like I'm in a straitjacket. Who works in pants? I mean, it's ridiculous.
I know, I'm in pants too, but they're sweatpants, so they barely count.
Well, no, I wear sweatpants all the time, but these are like jeans. I just
proper pants.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's the 1800s. I feel like a pioneer, like in full, very thick clothing, you know?
With toggles, or togs and...
buckles and toggles.
Buckles and... You're like, well, this morning I was barn raising, and now I'm here to talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Actually, no, this morning I was getting injections of testosterone pellets into my butt. Okay, that's what I was doing. And I wish they would have told me that they were going to do that like that. I would have done a squat. I mean, my God, I was like, I'm so sorry. I said, I'm so sorry for my mushy butt. And she didn't say anything back. And I was like, oh my God, this means she's really upset with my mushy butt. And so now I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so mushy butted in testosterone. Do you know that I have no testosterone? I know that that doesn't shock anybody out there. It certainly didn't shock the lady who told me. She's like, yeah, you don't have any testosterone. Like, she just saw that one coming. I was like, why'd you even do a blood test then? Okay, why don't you just tell me what else is wrong with me? Go on to binge eating disorder. Just move down the fucking line, lady, okay? I'm here to be judged.
Testosterone is actually the house sauce that you get at Flamenco's. Can I get that with some testosterone sauce? So they have to inject a pellet. How do you inject a pellet? Like, I think like an injection, you inject a fluid or pellet, well, you stick it up the bum hole.
It wasn't in a shot. So basically, maybe injection is the wrong word. They finagled.
Suppository?
No, it's not in my butthole. She cut a little hole in my butt on the flesh.
Oh, got it.
And then she shoved stuff in there. And then I had some numbing stuff, so I couldn't really feel what she was doing.
Like a little backpack.
I did hear tinkering. I heard like metal tinkering against metal. And then I felt her like pulling my skin. I said, what are you doing back there? It feels like you're trying to get jeans on me. And she said, getting pellets in you. So I don't know. She said, well, she had to lodge them up in there.
It's like a mailbox, right? You open the thing and you put the thing in there and you close it. It's like the testosterone's like, and it's like closed on your butt. Right?
I think so.
It's slap in there now.
Except you just let the mail sit in there and it slowly read over the course of 6 months. So
that's sort of like my mail situation.
So if I change, I just wanted to announce it. Not that anybody really cares about the testosterone in my butt, but I could be a totally different person in a week. And so I just want everybody to know. You know, if things change and I'm like, you know what, Ben, I've changed.
You're going to be like, you know what, Ben, for the crappies, instead of doing like a show tune, why don't we like just do like highlights from the NFL? Yeah. I'm like, what?
How about we
to
tackle
Ronnie?
Each other? I'll be like, okay, here's my idea. Here's my idea for the opening of the crappies. I want you to run to that side of the stage. I'm going to throw a ball and then you're going to catch it, bitch. You got it?
How about we do something from like Barstool Sports? Let's like read some stuff off that website. I'm like, Ronnie, what's happening to you? Like, I don't even know who Patti LuPone is. I'm like, Ronnie.
Okay, so let's go on. What a way to start. So Kyle is comforting Sutton because she just got testosterone pellets in her butt and found out that she has no testosterone and she feels, you know, like less of a man for it. So.
Yeah, Sutton's talking about how she's been carrying around MRSA for all these years. Actually, in her butt. She actually has like a MRSA pouch back there.
I know. I got some MRSA injected into my butt. and I left there doing pliés and jetés. It was crazy.
It's more like the testosterone was installed. Right?
It was installed, yeah.
It was like you got like a, you know, when you have to add more RAM to your computer, at least when you used to be able to do that before solid states.
Don't
like
say sort of RAM when we're talking about injecting things into my butt, please.
Hey, there's no stigma in being a bottom.
Who says there's stigma? You know what there's stigma in? Fucking pain. That's what it is. Ram me. You're not ramming me. I don't want a ram you truck. Know, nothing ram.
I'm about to say, a week from now, you'll be like, you know what I want? A ram truck.
Yeah. Oh, Ben, I forgot to tell you something.
40 is the best in Texas.
Okay, so Sutton's crying. And okay, let's get serious now. It's a very serious moment. So Sutton's crying because she is not only scattering Merce's ashes, she's also scattering the ashes of her marriage. Okay?
Yes.
Because her marriage was a big part of her life, and she was so angry so long because she got dumped, basically. And so she's very upset. At least you're rich. I don't know if that's not really fair to say to rich people, because I know that rich people have problems too. They just do it so much more richly than the rest of us that it's hard for me to feel bad. Because, like, you got divorced, you got dumped. I get it. That hurts. Okay. I'm not saying you deserve it. I really like Sutton and I don't want her to be hurt, but you get $300,000 a month. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Can't that comfort you? Can't that hug you? Hug that. Yeah. Hug all those Benjamins.
Or just hug me. I'm a Benjamin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And so, so then her friend Trevor comes over and he's like,
Hi. How are you today? Hi, Sutton. Oh, I can't believe that Merce stayed so long in this Ziploc bag.
So she pours the ashes into a little box, you know, and then some of it falls on the coffee table and they sort of like brush it into the
Snort
box.
It.
You know.
Like back in the day, like they did back when Merce let them house sit for him. They had his apartment alone. Like,
are you going to sniff it, Sutton? Are you going to sniff it?
He talks like a heroine in a 1930s movie, doesn't he? He's got this like
kind of effect, that kind of this accent to his voice.
I think he sounds actually more like the villain of the, like, well, it could be either heroine of a 1930s movie, you know, once the talkies started. Because imagine if he's just like a, he sounds like the heroine in a 1917 movie and he's just like piano. But his voice just sounds
like Danger Piano.
I don't know why my hands are up when I do that. For those on video, I went like this. I put my hands up. Like I was like, performance.
But, we're talking about theater now.
But he's either a 19... I'm talking about theater, so my hands are up. He's either 1930s heroine, or he's like 2014 alt take on a villain in a James Bond thing. Like,
oh, I speak in a very fey voice, because I'm so evil. Oh, really? You're going to threaten me with old mercy again, are you? Sutton? Oh, Sutton, 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 you fell into my trap. All your friends will be dead by midnight.
So Sutton's like, this morning, I'm realizing I'm not just letting Merce's ashes go. I'm letting 2 decades of my life go. Here's what I have to say to the past 2 decades. Bye! Bye now. Bye. Take all your trash out with you. Fucking leave me alone. I live for today. And guess what else I'll live for? Tomorrow. Bye yesterday. You're dead to me. Okay? And everyone
so
who was in
yesterday.
Bye. Don't
so
remember anything about you.
So yesterday. I was 2 decades. You know what I was thinking about? Like, whenever Sutton talks about all this, like, this different time with Christian and Merce, my vision of it is, like, Sutton... In like, it's like 1988, they're listening to Fine Young Cannibals. She falls in love with Christian. They have this big, like, Reagan era, Bush era romance. But 20 years ago is 2004, actually. And it just does not, it's like, wait, what? I don't feel like I'm ready for 2004 to be like, remember back when we were married in 2004? Like, I'm not ready for 2004 to be like that, you know?
Like old, the old days, you mean?
The old days, yeah.
Yeah, it's like Spanky and Alfalfa racing, you know, little cars they made out of apple boxes or whatever, apple crates.
I want, like, the old days. Honestly, I don't even want the 80s to be the old days. I'm, like, very resistant to that. Like, I want the old days to be maybe the 70s. Like, I want something to be like, I remember when Christian and I fell in love, we'd just seen a Roy Scheider film. And we said, that man knows how to star in a movie, you know?
Yeah, I don't like it being the old times either. I saw that they remade the movie Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I'm like, how is it? Yeah. How are they remaking this? This came out like 2 years ago. It did not come out 2 years ago. It came out a very long time ago. I'm just still young looking.
I was
so weird how the rest of the world just ages, but I don't.
Well, so I was thinking this morning, I don't know why I was thinking about this morning, but I was thinking the TV show Laguna Beach, I'm pretty sure, is now 20 years old, which means that all those kids that are like locked in time as being high schoolers, like Jessica and Dieter, they're all fucking 38 now. And I don't know how to deal with that. Like, yeah, that's wild to me.
My niece the other day asked how we met, me and you. And I said, blogging. And she said, what's that?
Oh, no.
So that's where we're at. Okay, but so...
I guess we have... By the way, Ronnie, I bet we know each other for now like almost 20 years. Is that crazy?
That is crazy.
It's like Sutton's marriage crumbled and then ours began.
Season 2 of Top Chef is when I started writing for...
that was 2006. So yeah, we're 18 years. Wild.
That's nuts. Wild. Okay, so Sutton is realizing that it's time to let everything go and to stand on her own. I'm assuming she means figuratively, not monetarily, not financially, because I would stop her. I would be like, no, don't do that yet until you've signed everything over to me. You just stand on your own. It's crazy.
I just hope that she brought a freeze-dried mouse so she could finally literally let the mouse go.
Also, 2004 was such a depressing time. You have to put yourself back there because that was like 9/11. Like, the whole world changed right after that. And it took a long time to get used to like the lines at the airport. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of shit went down. And so that's like a sad time to be dumped. My God. I feel for her.
Well, I mean, at least it was 3 years after 9/11. So like, we had started to come back to some sort of normalcy. Like, pop music was like, that was the time when like, it was on the radio, perhaps on the Super Bowl.
Wow.
You know,
that basically is the piano music when someone is tied to the train tracks.
Do you think that's truly how Christian left Sutton? Where she's like, are you leaving me? And he presses play.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Rest. Yeah.
And then little John. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to tell the listeners, if you're wondering while we're not talking about the show, nothing happens. Okay. So then she cries a little bit.
Yeah.
And Trevor is like, hello, ladies. Good to see you all again. And Garcelle's like, did you have fun the other night? You handsome beast. And he's like, oh, you were fantastic. My friends were so, so happy to meet you all. Truly.
Yes, my good friend Juliette Pompidou Haraglu said that she's going to make a service station in the shape of Dorit's hair.
Anessa Fallegarden was talking the other day as she was about to receive the key to the city about how much she enjoyed talking with y'all over paella.
Quintupla Testeronica said she was so enamored with Erica Jane that she's going to commission a public space that represents her left nipple.
He goes, yeah, everybody, my friends loved meeting you. And she goes, even Erica? And we see a flashback to drunk Erica being like, my sizzle the pants.
So they now all get into the vans to go to the ash, the very, very public ash spreading ceremony. And
kidding. Hey, guys, if you're going to do an ash ceremony, don't go to Disneyland. Like, you're like, in a public space. Like, can you go somewhere else? You're literally just going to do this at the end of the pier. Like, I shouldn't have to worry about getting your friend in my eye.
Like, also, like, maybe don't do this, like, right in front of the line of, like, at the, like, Cheesecake Factory of Stitches, right? Like, there's, like, so many tourists walking by just looking at them, like, why are these ladies all crying?
Yeah.
So they're in the vans and everything, and they're heading to this beautiful, beautiful scenery. And Trevor's like, oh, this is welcome to my cute little town. Unassuming, you would never know that we secretly murdered dolphins in a cave down below. Oh, I'm not evil.
There's a whole gay strip up there with all sorts of gay parties. There's this whole cave that you swim to where people go to hook up.
I was like, could you just try less to be like you're in White Lotus 2 right now?
I'm not really sure what he's doing. It sounds like he's kind of like a Marilyn Monroe type, like, oh, and there's a cave, and we're swimming to the cave. I don't mean his voice. I just mean his whole demeanor of like, I'm so sexy. I'm just a sexy lady in the 50s.
I just think that because of White Lotus 2, I just no longer trust gays of a certain age in Europe who like women of a certain age. I'm like, he's up to something.
Yeah, he's gonna steal from you, Sutton.
Be careful. So he's like, Sutton's like, well, I heard that it's Bear Week, and I kind of like bears.
Ooh, I do too.
She's like, yeah, that might be my top. And Garcelle is like, what's a bear?
Oh, come on! And they're like, what? Like everybody, of course, except Erica. Is confused. And this goes to prove our point that we've been making on this podcast for years, which is we need to stop servicing these housewives like we're their fucking indentured servants, okay? Because every time we see a gay on Bravo, they're like, oh my God, Sutton! They're like following them around like Avi, you know, just falling all over themselves to like please them. And Avi's an employee, but you know, or we get like a Justin on Beverly Hills who's just like, Kyle, you are hilarious! Like, Team Kyle, no matter what. You know, we get that kind of gay, which is fine, but this is what gay this is what these women think of us, okay? They don't even know what a fucking bear is. They haven't listened to one thing you've said. Put down their goddamn purse and go find other friends. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think we're about to... this is something that will be explored further, probably in Real Housewives of Miami this week, too. Meaning the one-way friendship of it all. So, yeah, they're all like, what's a bear?
I fucking had it.
Yeah. And Erica's like, well, it's a fuzzy gay bear with a lot of hair and muscles. And Trevor's like, well, muscles, or it could also be someone who's familiar with the geography of Lebanon, where it's mountains with snow, but also a beach. I've been there. I've heard of it. I understand.
The Fertile Crescent. That's what it is.
Yes, I'm aware of the author from Lebanon who wrote The Prophet. I am aware of everything. It's like, okay, Erica.
So Erica starts saying, well, you could also be a muscle queen, or you could be a slim bear, or a baby bear, or a cub. And Sutton's like, otter, I think is the word you're trying to go. Which, okay, Sutton is excused from everything I just
Sutton
said.
Sutton got otter. Okay. Yeah. That's a deeper cut for, like, I think, like, most... I feel like most women probably have heard about the concept of a bear, but otter is like a little bit of a deeper cut. So Garcelle's like,
but I just mean house. I don't mean women in general. I mean specifically Real Housewives. Like,
right.
You're literally on Bravo. Our whole life is built around you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We're obsessed with you. How dare you not know what a bear is?
Be obsessed with us. So Garcelle's like, what? Well, Andy Cohen was on my podcast, and I said to Andy, I need to know, are you a top or are you a bottom? And he goes, I'm a powerful top, Garcelle. And then I said, I bet you are. Now, what is a top and what is a bottom? I don't understand this.
And her friend said, I'm a blouse. That's a feminine top, which I think is pretty funny. I've never heard of that one. So then...
By the way, if anyone wants to know what a bear is, just tune in next week and watch what happens after Ronnie's had a week of testosterone.
Yeah. You guys are going to hear my growler app going off. It's going to be like, you have a new...
The hair will be coming out of every pore.
Yeah, am I going to grow more hair on this testosterone stuff? Oh, God. Not on my head, I'll bet you anything. My back will be like, you know, ponytailed, but my head won't get any hair. I'll have, like, nut hair down to my knees, but my head's not going to gain shit. I can tell you that right now. I'm already mad about testosterone. Maybe it is working.
I know. I think you're mad about something, so that seems
normal, actually.
Very testosterone-y.
That's actually extremely normal.
Academy is a new scripted podcast that follows Ava Richards, played by HBO's Industries' Myhala Harold, a brilliant scholarship student who has to quickly adapt to her newfound eat-or-be-eaten world. Ava's ambitions take hold and her small-town values break in hopes of becoming the first scholarship student to make the list. Bishop Gray's all-coveted academic top 10, curated by the headmaster himself. But after realizing she has no chance at the list on her own, she reluctantly accepts an invitation to a secret underground society that pulls the strings on campus life and academic success. If she bends to their will, she'll have everything she's ever dreamed of. But at what cost? Academy takes you into the world of a cutthroat private school where power, money, and sex collide in a game of life and death. Follow Academy on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Academy early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
From Wondery, this is Black History For Real. I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm Conscious Lee.
What do most people think about when they hear the words Black History?
Rosa Parks, Reconstruction, MLK, February, Black History Month.
Exactly, exactly. There are so many stories of Black history that we just are not really talking about or thinking about, especially outside of February. And we are about to flip the script on all of that. Because on this show, you're going to hear a little less
"In August 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue."
And a little bit more,
"She is a heroine to some, as a fighter for Black rights. She is a villain to others."
Follow Black History For Real on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen everywhere on February 5th, or you can listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus starting January 29th. Join Wondery Plus on the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So they all get out of the band, this gorgeous, gorgeous city, and walking around. And Sutton's joking about, like, "Trevor, don't drop Merce. He's not in a Ziploc bag anymore." And they're walking around. We see they're walking through they've shown these umbrellas a million times. They finally walk to they go through the umbrellas, you know, the ones that are hanging over the street.
Well, watch out, everybody. Kyle's storyline's coming up. Hold on, wait for it. Kyle likes to shop, everybody.
I believe it's not her storyline. I believe it's her personality.
Yeah. It's her identity, guys. She's like, "Oh my God, there's places to shop, guys." I'm like, "Wow, Kyle likes to shop. That is so wacky." So she's joking about, like, needing to pull over. She's like, "Oh, guys, I can't, like, stand anymore. I need to, like, sit down right here next to this shop. I love to shop. It's crazy."
Yeah, and so they're, like, looking at trinkets and stuff, and okay, so then they sort of, like,
looking at trinkets and what's its galore. Thingamabobs, they've got plenty. But who cares? Nothing's real. I forgot that lyric, sorry.
"I want mo'." That was a play on words. Let me see. Get it? So it's time to have the ceremony. So in the middle of this busy ass touristy area, they just sort of stop at the side, sort of over the water, and decide they're gonna have this very nice ceremony for Merce. But, like, literally there's, like, Pam in her straw hat, you know, with her camera around her neck, walking by, be like, "Is that Kyle Richards from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? I'm gonna take a real quick picture." I'm like, they did not cordon off this area very well.
Yeah, they really didn't. They just walked to the end of the public pier. And Sutton is talking about, she gives a speech and she's like, "It's not just about Merce. It's about my dad. It's about my husband. It's about, you know, everything. It's about Lisa Rinna." Just kidding. I'm glad she's gone. she goes through this. She tells us about her divorce, and she says near the end of her marriage she got a phone call from Christian, and he said, "You need to get an attorney because you're gonna get papers today." And so yeah, go ahead, Ben.
And then he
go
said ahead. "I'm looking for a lady in the streets but a freak in the bed. I didn't understand what that really meant." And he went, yeah
yeah, 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 yeah. Hold on, rest. Yeah.
I wasn't quite sure why he was agreeing with himself so much, but I felt it was offensive.
So this is just how guys operate, I guess. God, men are so fucking cold, right? I think straight men. I feel like gay men don't operate like this. I can't imagine just calling someone and being like, "Oh, yeah, you're going to need a lawyer because I've filed divorce papers." You would know if I was going to divorce your ass, okay? You'd be like, for weeks, you'd be like, why are my tires always flat? Like, who put a brick through my windshield? You know? Like, why was there super glue in my underwear? You know? Things like that. Like, I feel like it wouldn't be a surprise for me. But straight guys are just like, they're so cold. They're just like, yeah, I'm divorcing you. Been planning it for a while. Had a whole thing drafted. Bye.
Yeah, got like a surplus of testosterone in my system now, and I really don't have time to drag this out. Just gonna divorce you.
Listen, I have not had a boner that's lasted longer than 7 minutes in years, so I have no time to waste. Okay, time's ticking.
So, son's like, yeah, we all have stuff in our lives that we hold on to, and I really want y'all to do this for me. I know it's hard. So, they're just talking about how they're surprised. They didn't realize. Kyle, of course, is like, you know, I think that Sutton has been in like a lot of pain regarding our divorce, much more than any of us could have imagined. I'm like, well, definitely much more than you could have imagined, Kyle, because you never check in on your friends. Kyle's always like, who is Christian again? Can you remind me?
Yeah.
You're Christian. So there's a Christian. So you broke up with Christianity. What religion are you now?
You were dating a Christian? So Garth, you know, they're talking about like how sad this is for Sutton and stuff. And Sutton's like, we're going to say goodbye and we're going to let all three of those men go. And so they do. And they throw the ashes over. And of course, they hit everybody in the face because that's how God works. God wants the deadness all over you. We've seen it many times on these shows. MJ's father, the dog Milu. On Milu, yes, on Real Housewives of New York. Don't do that on Bravo because God's like, LOL, okay?
Yeah, just lower the box into the water with a rope or something. I don't know. So yeah, it gets all over everyone. Kyle, of course, makes a big fit about it. It's like, it's on me. It's like all over me. It's in my mouth. Like, it's literally on everyone, but Kyle's acting like she's the most ashed over. So, but Sutton's like, for everything, Sutton is like actually very like amused by this. She's like, she's cracking up. I thought she would be like, and I messed this up too. But she's okay. She's okay.
Yeah. She loves that Merce like got in all of their eyes, you know?
Yeah.
So then Kyle gives her a hug and she's like, oh my God, Sutton, I love you, Sutton. I love you so much. Now, I just want to point out, someone posted on somewhere on the internet, okay, which is a pretty big place, I know, but someone posted a clip from the after show and Kyle's really an asshole, okay? And I know a lot of this show is dedicated to what an asshole Kyle is, and I'm sorry because I know that Kyle has a lot of stans and it's got to get annoying for you guys. So first, I'd like to say to you, bye, because I don't care. But second of all, Kyle's really an asshole. She went on that after show, and she was like, I mean, Erica, have you ever heard of Merce before? Like, has she ever mentioned him? Now, I know that she probably wanted an excuse to go to Spain and, like, have the storyline of throwing his ashes, but, like, she'd never even mentioned him. So all of this Kyle pretending to be nice and hugging Sutton and saying, I love you, is a load of crap, you know, because then she goes on the after show and basically accuses her of faking it for a storyline.
Kyle's track record with this sort of shit is so bad. Like, how many times has she done this to people? Have we ever heard about this person? Have you ever heard about this person? I mean, this is going to sound very, like, rude and callous, but, like, what if we had said, who's Lenore? Or whatever her name, Lenore, right? Is that her friend's name? The point is that, like, there are people in people's lives that they don't necessarily advertise all the time. But Kyle has a blatant track record of just like not asking and always being shocked. And then like, and when she finds out about someone, and then when she does, I think because she feels so bad that she never actually asked or found out, that she turns it around and is like, oh, you never brought them up before. You're just bringing this up. We saw it with Nanny Kay. We saw it here with Merce. We saw it with... there was like definitely like two other
the brother, people, Lisa Vanderpump's brother, when he died from suicide. Which,
by the way, now this is sort of dark, but I actually am curious, and this is not coming from a shady place. This is actually from a genuine place. I am actually very curious if Kyle, she went through a terrible tragedy, terrible tragedy. I wonder if she looks back on that season where they essentially drove Lisa off the show. and has a different perspective on it now, knowing what Lisa was probably going through at that time. I really do wonder about that. I'm not saying this from a place to shame Kyle. It's from a place of like genuine curiosity. I wonder if there's a different perspective on it from her now.
I don't know.
Sorry, I got dark there. But the other thing is this. I'm really sick of Kyle's performative hugs too. I really like, she did this during Eagle Woman and she does it now. Sutton's doing her thing. And of course, Kyle is the one who runs in front of the whole group to hug Sutton because she is the super friend. It's not a genuine hug. It is a hug to be like, I'm hugging you publicly to show what a good friend I am. And therefore I expect something down the line for friendship. Yeah.
Well, there she goes, you know. But, you know, thankfully she got some lifts in her hair. So I feel like
A wide spectrum of thoughts on Kyle for me.
I mean, to sum it up, Kyle sucks still, you know. So Kyle has actually had a good couple of episodes, but we just want to remind you, don't be fooled.
I think she's actually had largely a good season, believe it or not. She has annoyed me, but I think that, like, this has been, like, there have been many times where I've been like,
it's been pretty good. Yeah, I agree with
you. Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. So Erica is like, just the idea of getting immersed in my mouth, like, I don't know this man. I don't want to taste this man. So they're all laughing about it, you know, and then Trevor's like, goodbye, ladies. Goodbye. I'll miss you. I'll think of you often. Please let me live on in your hearts. Goodbye.
It was the first time on the show that I ever saw a human being cross dissolve into emptiness. I was like, wow, he literally just had his own final cut transition out of the scene. It's like he just disappeared.
My soul has been released. I can finally be welcomed into heaven with mouse.
He's back to haunt the cave.
He does like the end of Ghost thing. He sort of waves. He goes,
ditto.
So Trevor leaves. Okay, so now it's time for flower releases. And so they all say things they want to let go of. Garcelle wants to let go of feeling lonely because she has abandonment issues, not having a dad in her life. And she tells us that her dad left when she was 3 and he didn't come back into her life until she was 14. So then she had the man of her dreams and then she got betrayed by him. And so, you know, men.
I didn't know that.
Fucking telling you.
You know what? It's been 4 seasons of Garcelle, I think. 4 or 5 seasons. I did not know that was her backstory. Just kidding. She talks about it every episode. I know it very, very well.
Which part?
Very. Oh, that Garcelle had a husband who thought was going to be the man of her dreams. He cheated on her. She sent out a mass email.
I don't think I knew that much about the
father. I don't know about the dad, but I'm like, I love Garcelle. But I just feel like I'm ready for like new types of Garcelle content.
I think her best work is her smartassery in the confessionals, or even not in the confessionals. Here, even in real life, because she'll do it right to your face, which I really like as well.
Garcelle's great in a group setting, and she's great in her confessionals, and she's great when she is surprised by something. What? But it's more like the personal stories. Are fine and they're good. It's just like I feel like we've been in the same space for a few years now, and I'm ready to like move into a different area, or just like I don't know. I just want more for Garcelle. I like her so much. I like her so much. I just want more. I want more.
We're just restaurant goers. We're not the chefs, so we don't need to tell you how to fix it. We just want it to taste better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we just want some new things on the menu.
Yeah, that's it. So Crystal is crying, and the first thing she says is, "My brother." And I was like, okay, well, you too, you know?
Well, look, Crystal's trying to bring something new. It's just not very compelling. But she's like, what I want to release is my brother, who I guess is releasing me. I want to release me being mad that my brother released me. I guess I'm released him first. Ah, beat you, stupid younger brother.
So she's sad because he's moving away. And then Anne-Marie is like, oh, I know I have this very confident exterior, but it's because I'm like a doctor. Well, basically. I mean, not really, but like close enough. So I just like, I have a lot of work to do because I don't really feel like I'm in a peaceful place for myself or for my family. I just like, I want to be happy. It's like,
I like that. I mean, I like that speech. That to me was like a solid 8.5.
I feel like that was just very general.
I know.
General, it was, you know, it would be better. It would be great to feel slightly better. Maybe 1.5 on the scale of better. I'd like to feel better.
Hers was written by ChatGPT. ChatGPT, what do you say when you have to release something at someone else's ash ceremony, but you don't really have anything that you really want to release? ChatGPT is like, got it. Here's something you can say. And then she just says it.
Yeah. Okay, so then who goes? Dorit's like, PTSD! And they're like, okay, okay. And so Dorit's like... talking about PK and, you know, what an ass PK is. Because, I mean, really, talking about insensitive men, wow, that's the epitome. That's yeah. That's the epitopaste-to-me of... Sorry, I'm trying to mix the words pasty and epitome together. It works better in my head. But,
pasty. The pastinicle.
The pastimitomy?
The pastim...
That sounds like a new dish we're going to be serving at Buka de Beepoo.
The inspiration comes from the testosterone sandwich at Flamenco's. Tustin, California.
So she has just figured out, after being married to PK, what, a decade? I mean, how long has she been with fucking PK? Did you know they were just married when they got on the show? They hadn't been married for that long. So anyway, her and PK, she has just finally realized after all this time that she has to lower her expectations. Hello, you married PK. You already lowered your expectations. I can't even believe you had half of the title of the book, Great Expectations, on that marriage. Like, how was even expectations on there?
Well, because he made her think that she could just, like, have everything her way. Because he literally just Weird Al Yankovic'd the Burger King theme song. PK, have it your way.
Hold the pickles. Hold the lettuce. Special orders won't upset us.
All right? Babe.
Babe.
You don't have to have mayo on your Whopper, babe. Have it your way. PK, have it your way.
Okay, so she is going to release expectations of PK into the ocean, which is smart. So then Erica's like, okay, well, I'm here to let this go. In representation of all the hurt the last 2.5 years that I feel many of you have contributed to, I've turned a new page in my life. I always knew I would. So I let my heart, my anger, my disappointment, and you bitches go. Oh, please. Is she fucking kidding me? Wow. I would like to know when all the victims who died paying for your diamond earrings would think about that. But they're dead. Okay.
It was so self-involved and petty, but I enjoyed it because I'm in an enjoying Erica space these days. It was so ridiculous.
Well, you guys hurt me, and I'm going to let go of what you did to me by throwing this in the ocean. And by letting go, I mean, I will still, you know, air my grievances for the rest of this episode and probably next episode too.
Yes. I'm still going to make this about what a victim I have been the past 2 seasons and all of this. So Garcelle's like, oh, well, I'm jarred by what Erica is saying right now. I wish it was my turn to let things go again because I need to let go of this jar that I've jarred. Call me preservatives. I've been jarred.
Yeah, you can let go of multiple things. I think, why not?
No, like, I think by your the turn way, is I... over. It's like the talking stick is gone, okay? No letting go of things. This is Housewives. We hold on to things. You don't let go of things. What kind of game is this?
No, you just act like you're at the supermarket. I'm so sorry. I know I'm at the checkout. I left some emotional debris in aisle 3. Mind if I just run and get it real quickly?
Oh, actually, I just had that removed from my anus by David. David.
Oh, Shannon Bedore. Welcome to our Real Housewives of Beverly Hills trip. That's a nice crossover. We're expecting
that. Well, I was in the neighborhood. I heard that Spain was a great place where you could walk along the beach and not run into any slats.
Well, really, all you need to do is take away the S to understand where I've been vacationing recently. John Jansen left me for a slut!
Oh, is that John's son down on there in the ocean? Hi! Hi, John's son!
Hi!
Oh, no. It's just a wreath. It's Garcelle's wreath.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Why is that wreath hugging Alexis Bellino? Well, I've seen it all now. Officially had it.
So, okay, well, I'm going to go back to Orange County because I believe there's a chair at Flamenco's that Heather Dubrow has not stolen from me yet.
Listen, I know that this place isn't very into house grooming, but there is a home in Orange County that needs to be clipped. I'll be leaving now.
And I just want Erica Jane to know that if she ever wants to turn around her image, I just want to remind her that I start charities. Holdy but goody. Holdy but goody.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Okay, so Erica's like,
there's a place to make people whole, and it is not in the court of law. It is in the court of law.
This is when she was yelling at them last year. And then they all just kind of look at Erica like, do you think we don't have the internet and can't look up this diamond earring situation in like 2 seconds? You fucking moron. But they decide to leave it alone because, you know, it's like ash throwing time. So then yeah. Kyle is saying that she feels she wants to let go of her guilt for her friend Lorene, which, yeah. You know, I'm going to not touch. And no. She's like, you know, and it feels strange to be on this trip with all these women and not to be sharing with them like what's weighing on me so heavily, which is, I don't know if my marriage is going to survive, guys. I just don't know.
Yeah. So then they do a group hug. And Kyle's like, I think everyone is so vulnerable. And sharing these moments shows that we've come a long, long way. And then they're just hugging. And so now it's time to go shopping again. So Erica and Crystal go off and they actually get ice cream. And Erica's like, well, I'm not interested in shopping. Also, can't really afford anything right now. And Crystal's like, well, I really liked your intention. And, you know, I'm sorry I contributed to your pain. And if you would like to say something about how badly you feel about me because my brother's moving to a different country for half the year, now would be a great time for you to say it. Mm. No? Nothing?
And when she apologizes, Erica's like,
it's okay, honey. Shit happens. It's how you recover.
So she's like, you know, I can't believe, she says, I love it when anyone can take a chance to say, hey, sorry I misjudged you.
I appreciate that because no one else has. Not one single of the women of these bitches has said anything to.
God damn, Erica.
That being said, I'll tell you who I don't like. Miss Judge over there was fucking texting my husband. God, I hate Miss Judges. So, Sutton's, then everyone gets in the van. Just some old gossip to bring back. Why not? Bring back
took
some
me
old.
A minute. I had to think about
remember,
that.
Remember, there was the lady judge.
Yeah.
Hey, why not, you know, play on words, misjudge. It's ripe for the taking. Why not reference something from 3 years ago? So they get into their van and they're still talking about how the ashes are all over them. And sounds like, well, Merce didn't get on me at all. He was known for these great leaps. He just leapt right over me and got all over the girls. It was so good.
So now they go over to learn a dance with Manolo. So Sutton's telling us, well, I think we just see clips of them learning the dance or whatever, but they go see Manolo, the tour guide with a guitar, which is my worst nightmare. And
most people with a guitar are my worst nightmare.
Most people with a guitar. And it's not like, that I hate music. I love music. I just don't like mediocre music shoved in my face constantly. And I feel like that people who know 3 chords on the guitar are doing that all the time. You know, like, please don't.
I'm going to say, I think I don't mind if someone has a guitar if they're part of a band or an orchestra. But if the guitar is a hyphenate, like I'm a Jamba Juice employee / have a guitar, that's going to be a no for me. I'm a tour guide and have a guitar. No. I'm, I'm your banker and have a guitar. I don't want a guitar in any place outside of the band, you know, space.
Yeah, I want your guitar where you keep your emotional expression in your home. That's the only place I want those things, you know?
No.
I don't want it anywhere else. I support you having emotions. I support you having a guitar. Just do it at home. You
know no, I mean? Actually don't even want the guitar at home Because the worst is when you're at someone's house and they disappear for like 3 seconds and you're like, where'd they go? And they come back with the guitar and I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I am not here to do a sing-along or to hear you sing. We were having a conversation.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Okay, so then let's see here. Manolo, blah, blah, blah. And then they're just talking about dancing. I'm like, oh my God, we're just not all as talented as Erica, but we still can dance, okay? So then they go back to the house to have their glam squads prepare them for flamenco dinner. And Erica is telling Laya, you know, her friend Ploy, she's like, oh, the seaside service, I don't know, I was a little crabby about it all. I mean, I'm here to let go of the last 2 years, which I felt misunderstood and hurt. And would I have preferred a moment where everyone sort of sat down and said, hey, you know what? In light of everything we've seen, we really pushed you. And we're sorry, Erica. You are the real victim in the Lion's Air crash, Erica. Hope you get those earrings back, honey, that were just proven to be bought with client funds that weren't really Tom's money because he stole it, which is why I want those earrings back. Anyway, I'm talking too much. Sorry. Please just go read the Bravo document on Instagram to understand this case.
You know, earlier Garcelle says we weren't, you know, like ultimately we were just holding up a mirror to Erica. And I don't think that she liked what she saw. And the truth is, these were questions that were going to be asked no matter what, because it was such a big thing. It was all over the news. Wouldn't Erica have preferred them to ask the questions to her face? That's whole Erica's whole thing, because they were going to ask the questions no matter what. But she didn't. She doesn't.
Well, they really did hound her about the questions. And I get why she would be upset. Now, as an audience member, you don't get to be upset. You're on a reality show and you're going to have to talk about. This was massive, massive stuff that was happening. Like, she's going to have to talk about it. So I get why. She, and it was, I mean, I get why she'd be annoyed, but
of course, you
know, whatever.
Of course we get like, of course, like I wouldn't want to, if I was embroiled in something like that, I wouldn't want to be confronted about it, especially not on TV. But considering that Erica's whole thing is like, I'm up front. And then all of a sudden when people are like, well, we'll be up front too. She's like, stop it. It didn't really make sense.
Well, but your point about holding up a mirror, you know, I agree with that, but you know, there's nothing less fair than someone holding up a mirror when you're not ready. That is so unfair. Like when you're walking and you pass a building that's reflective and you happen to see yourself and you're horrified because you're not prepared. You have to be prepared to look in the mirror so you can stand up straight, tuck your double chin down, you know, do whatever. Give yourself your Sheena angle, whatever it is.
Listen.
It's horrifying when you just pass a mirror and you don't know. You can't just do that to someone like, oh, and then we held up a mirror to Erica. Well, I'd say fuck you too. Who does that? Have you ever accidentally turned on the camera on your iPhone when you're looking down? It's horrifying.
Let me tell you something. I learned a long time ago not to look too closely at shiny cars or shiny windows because those, like, there's a difference between a mirror and a shiny surface because a shiny surface is always the worst. It's like a funhouse mirror. There's never been a flattering car window that I've walked by and been like, hey. Yeah. Like, there once was a toaster that I had, like, a good experience with. But aside from that, like, it's all rough and it's... Yeah,
and listen, this isn't me being insecure. I find myself plenty hot when I'm prepared to look in the mirror because I look in the mirror like, you know,
I love
my
face.
You just
on
can't surprise people with that shit.
Yeah, I love the way I look directly face on in the mirror. And then yesterday, I did like a stupid little video pouring out all the huge amount of water that accumulated from the rains here from my trash bin. And it was like me from the side, and I was like, "Ah, I hate it."
Yeah, nothing is more horrifying than ourselves when we're not prepared to be looked at. Okay, so back at the house, everyone's having their glam squads. Yeah, okay, blah blah blah. Erica's complaining to Laya, and she's Kyle's pissed that she didn't get an apology, but she's gonna let it go
for 5 minutes. And then Kyle's talking to her daughters and she's asking who's going to be having dinner with Mauricio. And, you know, she's like, because I'm, you know, going through this hard time, I'm just more sensitive to how Mo is feeling and how the kids are feeling. And now we see some flashbacks of their tortured experiences right now where Mauricio wants to talk about something. And she's like, Mo, wait until Portia walks upstairs.
Yeah. And then they gather in the foyer, and Kyle's in the wrong color. They're supposed to be wearing red, and Kyle's wearing, like, pinkish orange, hot pink orange. I'm not really sure what you'd call that color, but she's in it. So they're giving her shit for it, and Dorit's like, well, at least it wasn't the hideous dress she was going to wear.
Yeah. And and Son's like, did you not see the text? You're supposed to dress like the emoji dance lady in the red. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, they're like, whatever, we'll just Photoshop you. So now they get into the van and it's a classic thing of like walking across cobblestones and jagged surfaces and high heels. And Dorit's like,
You would think, being a woman of the world, I'd be prepared to walk in high heels on biblical cobblestones, but I'm not.
And then at one point, she actually fell over, which was horrifying because the noise that she let out.
Ladies, yeah! Welcome to June.
And then they start talking about husbands and if, you know, is Sutton going to remarry and should they be trusting their husbands to do paperwork for them, which is kind of skirting around the Erica thing, I guess. And Sutton's like, well, I'm not doing any of that. I'm not going to get remarried, mostly because if I do, I'll lose that $300,000 a month. So fuck that. But I am going to take my daughter to Taylor Swift, which is another kind of journey. I really don't think any of us are prepared for. I'm a Swifty. That's right.
Yeah, I love me some Trevor Calcified. And so Erica's like, well, my dog and I are going to go to sleep when we get back, and hopefully some man will come over. That's all I care. Come over and come on, man. That's what I want.
And then, let's see. Anne Marie is talking about, oh my God, but what if you met like the man of your dreams, son? Like, that would be crazy. Like, what if you were just like bonkers in love? Like, would you get married?
No.
And then Garcelle's like, well, I've just worked so hard. I don't want to give anything up in a divorce. And Kyle's like, prenup. Prenup.
Anne Marie's like, but I get that about, but like, you don't want to split that with somebody else? Like, what if they're like an 8.5? I mean, that's pretty good, right?
I mean, listen, like, I'm like totally comfortable being split with the number 17, so I just don't understand what everybody's problem is.
Erica's like, oh yeah, well, why don't you get married to somebody and fuck him up and leave him with all your problems like my husband did to me.
That's the thing. Do we know what the paperwork is that we're signing for? Do we know what your partners are really doing? And Kyle's like, don't you just like sign everything? Like, Martin, like I just sign everything, because like, then what do you say? Like, have a lawyer look at this? Like, that's too much.
Mm. See, this is why, Kyle, I just don't know if I believe this. Like, I'm leaving Mo, because why would you come on national TV and talk about how you'll sign anything he gives you if you're really planning on leaving him? He's going to watch the show, Kyle.
Maybe she wants to dispute something down the line and be like, well, I didn't know. I was just signing, and he pressured me to sign it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. See, I even said it on The Housewives.
Yeah.
So let's see here. So Kyle's, I don't know. They Sutton's just keep talking about fucking signing papers.
Paperwork.
Okay,
Sutton's like, don't do it. I won't even sign the Pope's paperwork. And Kyle's on it. So anyway, they arrive at the location, and guess who is on the steps?
Fucking Manolo. I can't. Manolo's guitar is up there like, it's like playing Yeah 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 in the Spain. He's playing the Spain version of Yeah Yeah Yeah.
See, ladies and gentlemen, Manolo. So they go into this restaurant, which is like a really like big flamenco place and everything, because they're going to be doing their flamenco dancing there. And the owner greets them and tells a story about King Alfonso met Carmen, the very famous flamenco dancer there. And Kyle's like, oh my God, like, I do not want to perform. I'm like, I don't even know how to do these dances. I'm like, not even drinking anymore. It's not like I even can do, like, can have some margaritas and get up there and do the splits or anything, because I'm not drinking on behalf of the fact that I'm not drinking anymore.
So then they...
Manolo's like, he's like, okay, so do you want to make a toast, a Spanish toast? And Dorit just starts to be like, well, as a lady of the world, I can do this in Spanish. So she goes, me, okay, salud, amore, amore, salsa, guacamole.
He's like, no. Repeat after me, okay? Arriba, abajo, al centro.
Arriba, abajo, al centro. Yeah, Los Angeles, La Cienega. Los Feliz, Sepulveda Boulevard.
So then they go to their table and they order drinks.
El Cerrito Atamal. Sorry, still doing my toast.
And Dory's like, Coca-Cola normale, normale, Coca-Cola, por favor.
¿Dónde está Coca-Cola normale?
Normale. I learned Espanol when I was in Italia. So the accents are a bit mixed there. I love that Dorit even has a fucked up accent in different languages. She changes her fucked up accent. Now she's doing an Italian accent in Spain. I can't.
Also, everyone's ordering English, and the waiter's English is very excellent. He's like, so what would everyone like to have to drink? And she's like,
a Coca-Cola normale.
It's so offensive when people try to speak your language while you're waiting on them. When I was a waiter, people would try and do that with me sometimes. I would get so offended. Like, you don't have to, like, just be gay. It's like the second I come to the table, they're like, hey, girl. Can I have this without gluten, bitch? I'm like, oh my God. Jeez, you don't have to talk to me in gay slang.
It reminds me of The Amazing Race. It reminds me of The Amazing Race, like how like so many teams, no matter what country they're in, when they get into a taxi, they always go, rapido, rapido, rapido. I'm like, you know, rapido is not the universal word for fast. It's only in Spanish. And it could be deduced in other languages. But if you're in China and you're saying rapido, that's just not going to land the same way.
Horrible. Okay, Kyle is talking. They're talking about their favorite moments of the trip. And Crystal's was watching people make paella because she cooks things with Miss Lucy online. So in case you guys haven't seen those, go watch them. And then Kyle's like, it was like being by the ocean and just having an honest, real moment. Oh, my God, about Merce. No, about like being obsessed with shopping.
And not drinking.
Yeah.
And
it was like, today was really special. It was. You know, it's, as I said in my toast, Guadalajara, tequila, bomboloni, bonjour, baguette.
Well, it's been a long time since I felt relaxed and good on a trip. I mean, just think about last year's trip.
I'm like, what was last year's trip? It meant nothing to anybody else. And she's like, Aspen, girl, I've tried to block it out, for Christ's sake. And then we see clips of Aspen, which was crazy, so with them grilling her over the $750,000 earrings and Garcelle being like, why don't you just give it back? And Crystal saying, all I care about are the victims, which is me and my brother's relationship. And Erica's like,
I don't give a fuck about anyone but
look. We're not going to go all Pollyanna and think that everything is fabulous. However, if I were to scale it on a whole, for me, it was much more of a positive experience than I've had in a long time. By the way, Pollyanna's a real bitch. She never said sorry to me.
Are we forgetting that Erica was caught setting people up last season? Wasn't it that Erica's team got caught being the leaker of last season when everything was leaking out?
Yes, Jack. Jack,
I don't like the word. Kyle's like the biggest villain. The biggest. Erica's the biggest victim of the season, and nobody is bringing up the real shit. Erica, you're still talking about these earrings, and people are treating Erica with kid gloves, which I really don't understand because they didn't last year. So I'm not really sure what's up. So Anne Marie is saying, "Yeah, but Erica, earlier today you said you were like still upset with everybody, and like I haven't watched every moment of the show. Just kidding. Get mad again." Just do that, because, like, we have literally nothing going on right now. So go ahead. Get mad.
Well, the last 2 years I was in this group, I felt very mischaracterized and very misunderstood. I'm sorry, but these are my confessions. We're doing throwback 2004, I heard. And quite honestly, the morning when I woke up and my appeal was reversed, and those things will always hurt, okay? So that's what that meant. Yeah. 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 Hey, it worked.
Rest.
Yeah.
And Garcelle says, but you said you didn't trust us. And she's like,
well, I feel more relaxed, but trust is something
that's earned.
Yeah.
Unlike Tom's money.
That's what I'm talking about right there, bitch.
Anyway, so she feels more relaxed in this group. She's gonna, you know, wait for the trust to build, et cetera.
Can't wait till Erica trusts us all again. That comes with a lot of perks. So then Garcelle's like, well, it's something to see how deeply she's been affected by us. And then Sutton is saying she wants a moment to toast Erica. Now, some of us didn't receive door invitations to your show like some other people did. And then we see clips of her sending invitations to her show that are like dancing girls.
Yeah, and like it's like Erica showing up at Kyle's door and Mikey being like, yes, queen, serve that invitation. Yes, bitch, mother. It's giving invitation. It's giving Las Vegas.
But I wanted to congratulate you on your residency. Now, I know it's like your literal residence and it's small, but it's still something. You know what I mean? And I think it's important, you know. You may not be an angel yet, but they will be serving wings at your concert. And that's important.
And Sally goes, now, as my mother would make me do in elementary school, I had to invite the entire class to my birthday parties. Because Sutton, it turns out, very quietly, Sutton is upset that she didn't get this invitation. By the way, producers, clearly there was a beef that was brewing here, and I feel like they were probably trying to focus on like the bonding and the heartache that was going on in this trip, and they just decided to sideline whatever fury Sutton was feeling about this invitation. Excuse me, always air the petty stuff for us. We always want the petty shit. Why would you just like reduce it down to this brief moment before flamenco dancing?
Yeah, Erica's always going to have a problem with Sutton because she's like the older southern lady and Erica has mommy issues. And it's going to be constant. It's never going to end.
And I'm going to love every moment of it.
Erica's saying,
well, listen, I will say, all right, it's not that you're not invited to my show, but I will say I do remember how much support there was on Broadway. Remember when Sutton chartered a plane? I mean, you did do that, so thank you for that. Thank you for that.
And she goes, that's right. I did. I did get a plane to take everyone. And then we see the plane and Rinna being like, it's a plane. It's a plane that flies. Hello, plane. Hello.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Super Sutton. How are you?
So now it's time. Now the dancers are starting. And the flamenco dancing is happening, and it's like all very fun and nice. And they're all, some of the women are kind of like getting hot under the collar about the dancer, the flamenco dancer. And then Kyle's like, oh my God, Sutton, hostess with the mostest. Are you thinking that we are going to be dancing up there? I can't even.
But they do, they dance, and it's great. And Sutton gives a monologue where she's like, well, I never thought I would get emotional about these women, but I just love them. We're like sisters. They're like family. Because family, your friends become family. And if you've ever worked at Applebee's, people that you work with at Applebee's are also your family. Okay? Until you're unceremoniously fired for not dusting a license plate that was screwed to the very top of a wall that you couldn't even reach at 15 years old. But that's neither here nor there. We're all family.
Anyway, when I die, bury me under a pile of onions peels. They do their dance. All the hype about this dance was so ridiculous because it was not, it was just them basically doing basic stomping or whatever. And there was a lady up there guiding them. It was essentially the same as when I went to Hawaii and I was pulled up on stage to do hula dancing. And they just are like, now do this. And you make an ass of yourself. And it's caught on video. Ugh. And it lives forever on Instagram.
Oh, that is,
this is great.
Horrifying. Okay, so drunk, back in Beverly Hills. I mean, no offense. I'm putting myself in that position.
It was horrible for the craft of hula dancing. It was very fun for me. It was horrible for the legacy of this cultural.
Oh, well, that's good. It was fun for you. I hate stuff like that when people put you on the spot. Like when people like sing karaoke and they put your name in. I'm like so embarrassed. But then if I do it, if I want to do it, then I'm a ham. But if somebody else does it, I'm like, oh, it's the most embarrassing thing I've ever done in my life, mother. Okay, let's go back to Beverly Hills because this trip was, boring. So then Garcelle gets some designer shoes. She's excited. Erica is at dance practice and she does the splits. And she's like, still got it, bitch. And Dorit goes by to visit Kyle and talk about marital troubles with Momo.
So, Kyle, how are things with you and Moster? I'm sorry, I'm just sort of workshopping a new nickname. Is it too late or is your marriage already over? Moster!
Or as they would say in Italy, Mister Favore!
Mossa! Samosa. Samosterino.
And Kyle tells her she's been seeing a therapist and Mo has joined her. And Dorit's telling us,
well, the truth is, recently, one of my best friends seems to be as disconnected as possible. I just want to be here for Kyle. I want her to know that I support her, but I will never support spaghetti straps and leather orange skirts.
And then we get a flashback of Dorit. I love what you said this early this season where she goes,
well, I feel like I'm an afterthought, Kyle. Well, I guess I just have to put your initial on my body for you to actually care.
Which is so petty. It's great. So Kyle's like, well, you know, we never fight. Like, we don't get into fights. I mean, if we do, it's like, you know, we get in an argument and, like, it's usually me. But, like, the bad side of it is that, like, you know, you're not communicating, you know? And by you're not communicating, I mean Marisa's not communicating because I'm obviously communicating because I get in the fights, okay? But, like, I guess that what I'm trying to say is it's all his fault. And, you know, it's just, like, if something bothers one of us, it's, like, we'd rather just be peaceful and just, like, not deal. And by we, I mean he. And, like, it's, again, Marisa's problems.
I'm not even married to Kyle, and I want to send her Christian papers. I'm, like, so bored. It's, like, two paragraphs of Kyle talking. I can't. Okay, so then we go to Dorit. Back to Dorit, and she's like,
oh, Kyle, you know, I think it might be the traveling. Traveling's taken quite a toll on us. Me and Piquet, you know what else has taken a toll? House cookies. Those can really weigh down a man's spirit, Kyle.
By the way, it's sort of funny with these flashbacks because Kyle's saying how the traveling has, like, really been so hard on them, but, like, every flashback is Mauricio saying, so I have to go to Portugal, but you guys want to come? We can make it, like, a fun family thing. And she's like, I can't. I don't want to. And it's like, so I have, like, an event in Beverly Hills tonight. You want to come to the event? I can't. I don't want to do that. So obviously, just because he offers it, she's not obligated. One doesn't just go to Portugal, but it's not like he's, like, just out the door and without, like, bye, see ya. It's just kind of like it's funny to see.
Well, on the Beverly Hills thing, when he said, are you going to come to this thing? And she goes, the Buying Beverly Hills event? And he's like, yeah. And she goes, really? No, I don't want to go to that. It's like 7 to 11. Gross. I mean, that's his TV show. That's kind of a big deal. He's and he's been on your TV on show for 10 years now, 12 years now. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. And you never know how they're showing things. And obviously, I'm biased.
But the clips that they selected for us, I'm like not
Kyle's
saying that
always
Kyle's
made me crazy, but this one I'm
not
just
saying
like,
Kyle's
come
wrong,
on, man.
I'm not saying Kyle's wrong. I could definitely see that Mauricio is more obsessed with the agency than with his family. But it was the clips that they showed definitely was like Mauricio being like, "Hey, you want to hang out at my work event?" And she's like, "No."
Yeah. So Kyle's like, "Well, you know," and then I see he's on the phone. I see him on these calls and he's saying how worried he is about the agency or if something's not going right, then it takes all of his attention. But I'm like, things aren't going right at home. Where's your attention for that? Why don't I get that same energy? And then she cries and talks about how supportive she's been. And she's like, and if there's no effort made, we're not going to end up together. We will never survive this.
I think that Kyle has actually been profoundly affected, like understandably, by her friend's death. And I think that's really having an impact. I think she really needs Mauricio in a way that she may not have needed him as much before. Plus, compounded with the fact that, like, now her last daughter is sort of becoming more and more independent and Kyle can't sort of pour all her energy into her children in the same way anymore. I think it's just like a perfect storm for her and that's why this has really happened. I think that's the fundamental issue here.
Something else is I've been wondering about because her whole childhood, it was like playing second fiddle, right? It's like, okay, well, Kathy's Kathy, right? She was older. And then Kim was a movie star. And Kyle was kind of toiling around the side, you know, driving Kim to school and driving her to auditions when they were kids and stuff like that. And now it's like Kyle, and then she had Paris Hilton, you know, as her niece, and she was just always so desperate to be famous. And then now she is famous, and like she's a real housewife, and her sister got fired, so she's not there, and Kathy's not on the show, so she, you know, but now her husband gets a TV show. It's like, can she ever just be the most famous one? Like, what the hell, man? Now her kids and her husband all have their own show that she's not really a part of. That's got to be annoying.
Yeah, and she does have a history of pushing back or distancing herself sometimes from the people in her life who are quote unquote more powerful than she is. You know, Lisa Vanderpump, Kathy, probably Kim at a certain point, you know. That's kind of her own stuff going on there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was Beverly Hills, everybody. We sure love you. Thank you so much for being here. Go get your tickets for Watch What Crappens Golden Crappy Awards. February 17th, Los Angeles. Also streaming online. And go vote. The links to vote, to get tickets, to get online tickets, those are all at watchwhatcrappens.com.
Okay? Sure are. Yeah.
And now, be prepared, because next time you hear me,
I'm going to be a man. I'm going to be so manly.
Man. Thanks, everyone, for being here, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Bye.
Yeah.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.